Before we get to this week's edition of News AF, let me take a moment and thank one of our sponsors, our friends over at True Car, who say, hey, if you're looking to buy a car, you might be familiar with a term like MSRP. You might even know what it stands for, but what does it actually mean? The same goes for invoice, list price, and dealer price. It's enough to confuse anybody. All you're really looking for is a price that actually means something. That's why there's True Price from True Car. Now you know exactly what you pay for the car that you want, including the fees and the accessories before you even get to the dealership, and a True Car dealer will show you the true price on a car like the one that you want, all from the comfort of your home. And how do you know if your true price is a great price? Because True Car will show you what other people paid for the same car that you want. And your certified dealer knows this, so they set their true price competitively so they can win your business. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, check out True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here once again to talk about the week's most interesting news stories for the week of Tuesday, November 13th, 2018, here on News AF.
If a story is buzzing like it's on crystal meth, it's about to be News AF. If the same old news makes you bored to death, it's time for some News AF. Actual, factual news.
Yes, good morning, or good afternoon, or evening, depending on where you are and when you're listening. News AF is back, and we're ready to talk about some amazing news stories here with our News AF team as we are streaming live today on the 13th of November, 2018. Thanksgiving is right around the corner, and we are ready for another helping of News AF. Tyson Apostle, how are you?
Nanu nanu, Rob.
Nanu nanu. With the Vulcan greeting. Yes. Wow.
Vulcan. Yep. Shout out to all the nerds out there.
Yes. All right. Danny Bryson, how are you?
Doing swell.
Okay.
Doing okay.
Hanging in there. Hanging in there.
Yep. Swell.
Yes. Swell.
Tyson, how are you feeling?
I feel okay. I mean, you saw me smile and make a little joke, but my back is in real dire straits right now.
What happened?
For some reason, I think I'm a dad.
That's too much lugging around these kids.
Yeah, so my back is really put me in a hard position recently. Like last night, I got to the point where I couldn't even stand up, and the night before, and I finally, I don't really have the courage to go to our medicine cabinet and just like take one of everything. Mm-hmm. But this morning I was desperate enough to do that. I call it the Danny Bryson.
Yeah.
Where you're in so much pain, you just go in and what do you call it, Danny? A Skittle party?
Yeah, it's a Skittles party. I did it when I had kidney stones.
Recommended or no?
No, not recommended at all. Results will probably be death, but that's also relief. So that counts.
Okay. That is true. So my back right now, because of that, does feel better, but the rest of me feels worse.
Okay.
But that's a small price to pay.
I know that everybody is going to be hoping for a speedy recovery for you. And it's just,
you know what it is?
Yes.
It's playing. I've been playing too much poker. I'm trying to get in shape for the Poker Stars Players Championship in January. And so I've been playing a lot of poker, and anybody who says that poker is not a sport is incorrect, because it does take a toll on your...
Do you ever get the person to come over and like give you a back rub at the table?
I haven't ever made enough money where I felt comfortable doing that.
It feels very indulgent to me.
It's like a $300, maybe less, maybe $100, couple hundred bucks to have somebody rub your back while you're playing cards.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll try it in the Bahamas.
Okay. All right.
Right?
I mean, if you're ever going to try it, that seems like the place to do it.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Let's get into our top stories at this hour.
Oh, we're right into it.
We're going to try to rip the Band-Aid off and get right into talking about our news stories going on.
We also, I said we had a hard out, but we don't because Rachel's going to pick Bergen up from preschool today.
Okay. All right.
Good.
So we can go as long as we want.
Good to know.
Five hours, 6 hours.
Big story going on here. The people over at Tide have done something where, with good intentions.
Miraculous.
Good intentions, we think. So you used to buy Tide in, you know, this big gallon jug, and then they turned Tide into pods, but it was still like a big plastic container, and then you had these things. They looked like candy. Kids were eating them. Millennials were then daring each
Delicious.
Other to eat them for sport. And so Tide said, okay, we're going to change things up. We are going to get rid of the big plastic container, and we are going to do something that is going to be good for the environment and make a big recyclable box to keep your detergent. However, things went haywire, Danny, when they revealed the design for the new Tide Eco Box, and people said, hey, hold on. That looks like a box of wine.
Yes, but whereas the Tide Pods targeted children, the box of wine targets adults. And it allows for natural selection to take its course by encouraging people not able to read or discern. They can go ahead and drink this Tide.
I think it more specifically targets
alcoholics.
Stay-at-home moms. I can tell you one thing. If this were in my fridge this morning, I definitely would just wash down my Skittles.
This would have been part of your treatment
for
your back pains.
Now, does the new Tide Eco Box need to be refrigerated, Tyson?
I mean, just goes down smoother.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I think, does it depend if it's
more refreshing?
If you're doing a load of whites or reds? Is that what it depends on?
Yeah, it depends on how many loads of reds you're doing.
They recommend that for your white laundry, that should be served slightly chilled, but for colors at room temperature.
Yeah, and also, you know, this Tide, it's not for everybody. It does have a nice woody, flowery aroma, which I know isn't for all.
Mm-hmm. A woody afterbirth?
Yeah.
I think that's an office joke. Now,
Danny, I don't know what the color is of regular Tide, but also that the box Tide does seem to be a deep burgundy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this
that will pair well with red meat.
Or pasta. Yeah, that's right. Maybe Ty should put out a list of food items,
spaghetti sauce stains.
Yeah, the things it pairs well with.
It pairs well with. Yeah, I don't understand the discussion about this box. This looks like a totally innocent box. These are people who are just anti-Tide.
Oh, yeah. You think that people are trying to take down Tide?
Yeah,
all is trying to, you know, propagate all this negative publicity.
They've got their bots out there talking about how they're going to drink Tide.
Do you think if you brought this box in to a restaurant, they'd charge you an uncorking fee? Boom. Stacking them up.
Knocking them down.
So the big concern here is also that if millennials, Tyson, were eating the Tide Pods, will we now see a millennial YouTube challenge inspired by Logan Paul, perhaps, to start drinking the Tide from the Eco Box? Is that a concern?
A concern, I don't know, but it's one of those things where this article alone is what's going to generate enough interest in one person filming themselves drinking a glass of it.
This will result in at least one emergency room visit.
And only one.
Yeah.
I think not at least one. I think only one. And the video will get 8.6 billion views in 4 days.
So are you pointing the finger back at us for talking about the media sensationalizing the Tide Eco Box, Tyson?
Yeah, but it's not just us. I mean, people grabbed a hold of it. There's been jokes made. It's just like people deciphering what is a joke and what is not. So we're here joking about drinking Tide because that's been the flavor of the month for quite some time here, but not here on this podcast specifically, on the internet as a whole. And that is what actually drives, because one person who may or may not be a genius is at home thinking, it is funny that people joke about it looking edible, but I'm actually going to be the one that makes it edible. And then that's where it goes bad.
You're saying that some practical jokester is going to go out and buy a box of Zinfandel and then replace it in the box of Tide at a party?
That's the smart move.
Yeah.
Put the Zinfandel in the, clearing out the box of Tide.
Mm-hmm.
And put the wine in its place, and then
I mean that's an innocent prank.
That's a genius idea.
That's fine. They're also saying, Tyson, that the Tide cup that you use to measure your detergent
is exactly one serving.
Is looking like a shot glass.
Well, I'm not an alcohol drinker per se, but I think that drinking wine out of a shot glass is a faux pas in general. That would
be also, if everywhere you look, you see alcoholic items, you've got a real problem. Like if everything, every innocent cup is becoming a shot glass and every box becomes a box of wine.
Oh my God, look at this basket. I could put beer in here.
Yeah. I mean, what does that say about you if everything you look at is turning into some kind of alcoholic item?
Drink. It's like, yeah, look at this car key is about the size of a shot glass. I'll eat it.
Danny, is there another way that Tide could have gone that would not have made people imagine other alcohol?
40 ounces in a glass bottle.
Yeah, I mean, is there something that they could have done? Maybe like if could they have come up with a Tide that looks like what?
Oh, I mean, look,
dog poop.
Cigarettes have pictures of skulls and crossbones and people still smoke them. Mm-hmm. I think at the end of the day, if someone wants to eat this Tide, they're going to eat the Tide. So
smoking can be hilarious. Drinking Tide Pods can be hilarious.
Okay. Here we have Tide trying their best, at least to come at the environmental angle. You know what I mean? Like they're like, hey, people are going to eat it no matter what. Let's just make the packaging environmentally friendly.
Mm.
That's something.
Danny, what do you think about this? Okay. New Tide. It comes in a rectangle and it's actually a book. Okay.
So you tear out a page and put a page in.
Well, that would be something. That should be Tide dryer sheets. It's a book. Nobody would be touching that thing. But I was thinking that maybe you could then have like one of these like books with a secret compartment, and then you open up the book and then it's hollowed out inside, and that's where the Tide is. And so that this would really, you know, keep the people that are not smart enough to not eat the Tide away. Oh. They would never touch a book.
Right.
Or, there's got to be a better way.
But the dryer sheets, the Tide dryer sheet book, that's
a phone
something.
Book.
Does Tide
nobody's
make a dryer
opened a phone
sheet?
Book.
I don't think they do.
No, I was thinking not a dryer sheet. I was remember we read those articles about like ketchup slices.
Yeah,
I was thinking about making detergent slices.
Good, I like this. This
is you can eat ketchup slices.
I know. I realized after I said it that it was actually something that would be look delicious.
Looks so good. It would look like a fruit by the foot.
It would. Mm-hmm. It would be. It definitely be eaten a lot.
I think
more
you
got to
do
Tide.
Something more along the lines of like. Like, you know how they make fake fecal matter?
Yeah.
Or you make the container a giant pimple. You make the container a giant pimple. And then you have to pop it and pus comes out.
People are into that.
Yeah, but nobody's going to eat it.
They're not going to eat it.
They're not going to eat it if it looks like pus and it comes out.
I don't know.
I'm just trying to think.
No. Nobody's going to want that for their laundry.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
The thing is, if you make it the least edible... or at least attractive, then nobody wants to use it, right? It has to look kind of good. The coloring has to look good. The cup has to look sleek.
It's true.
So once you make
they know
it look
what they're
so
doing.
They know what they're doing. But if you make it too unappetizing, I think that the price for good marketing is just a couple hospital visits.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what happens when it comes to Tide.
That's built into your budget.
Right. Well,
probably
bad news for the millennials as the Tide Eco Box has hit stores, but there is some fun stuff still left for the millennials to do. There is a new edition of Monopoly that is going to be available, Monopoly for Millennials, and there are some new twists on the classic game, Danny.
Tell me more. I'm very interested in hearing
so
this.
Monopoly doesn't always allow for people to have a great experience with the game. It lasts a long time. Millennials are, you know, they don't have 9 hours to play the Monopoly game, so they're gonna try to make the game some adjustments.
Millennials definitely do have 9 hours, but they don't have 9 hours of attention span.
Okay. So that the game is focused on experiences rather than owning things, Tyson.
Oh, that's really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You don't pay rent. You go for experiences such as a 3-day music festival, vegan food.
This
bike
isn't true.
Sharing,
is this true?
And yoga studios.
Yeah, is this true?
This is not a prank.
I know, but is it a gimmick?
Mm-hmm. It sounds hilarious. It sounds hilarious, and it's like one of those like backdoor compliments where it's not a compliment at all. It's like, hey, millennials, we know that you value this more than this, so we're going to make a whole stupid game to mock all of these stupid posts about.
What I want to know is if Toys R Us still existed, would I be able to go to that store and buy this version of Monopoly? Or is this like a one-off that somebody's doing where it's like a fake Monopoly for millennials?
So it is available at Walmart. You can order it on Walmart.com for $19.82, Danny.
It's real. Walmart makes it real.
it's real. We're not sure.
You could go pick up your Monopoly and your box of Tide
season.
And just spend all. Yeah.
Get out there and pick up Monopoly for millennials. You also can get your, you know, standard chance and community chest cards, which include unpaid internships and get into jail free card.
Get into jail?
Because that's an experience, bro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
That's the thing, is that these millennials have taken a spin off on everything and made it an experience. So nothing is truly bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, if
drinking Tide is an experience,
another wrinkle in Monopoly for millennials, Danny, the person who gets to go first is the person that has the most student debt in real life. Also, not a joke.
I like that.
Is that true?
That's not. Yeah, I'm not joking.
So they go around. Sorry, I'm standing up to give my back a little break here.
OK,
but I didn't want to stand with my crotch in front of the camera, so I'm off screen.
So
they go around the room. And they're like, how much is your student debt? Mm-hmm. How much is yours? How much is yours? And then the one with the most, but then who starts the second game? The one with the second most amount of student debt?
What do you mean? Oh, I think maybe it just goes to your right. I'm not sure if they, I think that would be confusing to sort of, I mean, you sort of like have.
Or whoever wins the game starts probably the next round.
You play it over and over again?
Well, yeah, because sometimes you get, like, let's say you're having game night and you're playing and you're loving it and it ends really quickly because somebody dominates.
Played two games of Monopoly in a row.
Well, even Monopoly for millennials. Guinness Book of World Records, yeah. Guinness Book of World Records says that 1.25 games of Monopoly has been played consecutively. That's the world record.
Tyson, the tagline for Monopoly for Millennials, according to the article, forget real estate. You can't afford it anyway. Just enjoy your life experiences while you can.
I still don't get that. Yeah, so much about this sounds like it was made by like Cards for Humanity or somebody like that.
Look, it's a smart gimmick to get people to be buying Monopoly.
It is. I would buy it as a joke for somebody.
Right. Will any actual millennials be playing this, or will like it only be Gen Xers and baby boomers making jokes about millennials with their friends?
Sit down to a nice box of Tide with your friends and play this game. I think, ironically, they will play this game.
Do they play games?
In an ironic fashion. Yeah, they do play games.
Like, if you were, hypothetically, like, let's say
I love how we're talking about millennials like they're a different species of human. We're like, do they play games? I don't know. What are their natural habitat?
A bunch of people that were, you know, even older than us, and they got together and they had a millennial-themed, like, costume party. Would they play this? Would they put the box, the bag of wine inside the Tide Eco box,
they for sure would.
Play Monopoly for millennials.
Should we? Millennial parties. That's a new thing for people that are non-millennials. I think we should start doing that.
What I mean is, would they play this? Because I don't feel like my kids do play games, but only because their mom plays them with them, like the board games. But do millennials play board games, or is it all video?
No, board games are making a comeback.
Okay, so. What are you basing that on? What?
Yeah,
Secret Hitler, Werewolf. What do you meme?
What do you meme?
Cards Against Humanity. Yeah. There's a meme game. Yeah. There's the there's a ton of games.
Okay. All right. I don't play games, so I don't know.
Let me just also
I know I've invited you to play games. So it's you who doesn't play games, but everyone else does.
And correct me if I'm wrong here, audience, because I do think we have a lot of millennials who watch and listen to the News AF podcast.
And we're very grateful.
I feel like that they're also they're on board with the they're laughing at jokes, making fun of millennials. I think that millennials ironically like millennial bashing
jokes?
Humor. Yes.
I don't know if that's always true.
Maybe I'm wrong. And if I'm wrong, please at me on Twitter at pineappleboy27 and please let me know where
I saw him.
I'm wrong.
He was pretty active last week.
Got to make sure that is a direct line to give me negative feedback for any of the podcasts. I appreciate that. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about what
because
else
we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, right, Rob?
No, definitely not. That's not our goal here. Okay. All right. So millennials may not afford real estate, but maybe they might be interested in a fancy new AI toilet. Now, Tyson, in the pre-show, I was talking with Danny, and Danny feels like that he invented this.
He would.
Danny, you came up with the concept for the AI toilet.
No. Mine was an app that you would hold over the phone, and you would snap a picture of your excrement.
Oh, you just take a picture.
And it would try and measure girth and length. Mm-hmm. Solidity.
For what? To put a condom on it?
No.
You just put it for that size.
It would measure it and do its best to guess, because the technology hadn't arrived yet.
That's interesting. I do think that maybe based on color, I think that maybe you could.
Yeah.
So you could do a poor man's version of this. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. The technology doesn't exist for my idea yet, but in the future it will when we have better sensing technology on our phones.
Mm-hmm.
And you can like
so these toilets
scan
are
going to
have that in. It's going to be like a little lab right inside your toilet.
Yeah.
Yes.
But Rob, if you can't afford real estate, there's no way you're going to be buying a $10,000 toilet.
Yeah.
Maybe you can't afford the real estate, Tyson, because you own the toilet.
Yeah.
So what? Where are you going to put your toilet?
In your mom's basement.
Okay. Hey, look, what good is the real estate if, you know, you have, don't have great health. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
Yep. Great. Yep.
So this is maybe the better investment. The AI toilet. I'm all about this. This is great. The smart toilet that can analyze human waste and pick up the first signs of illness. And so I think that this is revolutionary because we have all these people that are waiting. They can't get in to see a doctor. And then, you know,
will the toilet package up my turd? To take to the doctor's office, because that would be a nice extra step.
Well, I mean, if you're a doctor, this is great. You don't have to have anybody packaging up anything. It's like, all right, let me get the printout from your toilet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think they're going to want to examine it themselves.
The toilet
they can't
could
trust
probably
the toilet.
Just
the doctors aren't examining your turds, Danny.
Yes, they do.
They're sending them to a lab.
You know what I mean. That's
but
what I'm saying.
This is the lab. The toilet is the lab.
The toilet is the lab. Can they?
I don't see any. Does it have a Bunsen burner, beakers? People wearing safety goggles. Those are the situations where I think you have a very misconstrued concept
of what a lab actually is.
No, I think I have a very accurate idea.
In addition to stool analysis, don't forget that the toilet can also do urine analysis as well.
Oh, mm-hmm. This would be like too much Mountain Dew.
Yes.
Mountain Dew.
I do think one of the first things the toilet is going to test for is how many fiery Cheetos have you eaten?
I had two bags since our last podcast. Although, two bags of hot flaming Fritos.
To be fair, I do think that you can do that test with the naked eye.
Yeah, if there's blood in your urine because of the hot flaming Cheetos.
You don't need an AI toilet for that.
No, I don't. Diagnose myself.
Yeah, but this is really great stuff. Cutting edge stuff.
Will the toilet be able to decipher between beets and blood?
I think so. Yeah.
Is this a Japanese toilet? Because I've always noticed that the Japanese are way ahead in toilet technology.
Way
like
ahead
centuries ahead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would think so. So this is from the company Micron is working on this. So
Micron wants to build the chips for the toilet.
Okay. Yes.
So the toilet isn't designed by Micron, but Micron is saying these AI toilets are going to be the future, and we want to build the chips for them, which is a weird way to go unless they have some insider information where they're just like, we've been working on the technology for a chip for a smart toilet for 45 years now, and now we're just waiting for someone to invent a smart toilet that where we can use our chips. But let it be known, we're ready to put our chips in these toilets when the toilets are developed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They're like calling dibs on the smart toilet game just to use their chips in them.
Get in on the smart toilet, Tyson.
And you know what we're going to do? We're going to build the seats for them. Yeah, so we call dibs on building the seats for all the smart toilets.
Yes. So we're going to be the people that get in, like the people that make the cases for the iPhone. Great. Mm-hmm. What kind of features are people going to be looking for in the special seat for
heating, cooling, massaging, pep talk? You can do it. You can do it, Brian.
But do you want a special seat? Because I would imagine that if I have a smart toilet, I would feel like that the seat would sort of be home to a lot of sensors.
Yeah, it definitely will be home to a lot of sensors. It'll have a barometer, a gyroscopic
cellulite forming,
heart rate monitor,
temperature, cellulite right? Forming. It can do all sorts.
Perspiration rising.
Right. So I'm not sure necessarily if you want to cover any of those sensors up.
But. You know what? The thing is, once we add all those sensors and we're analyzing everything, I think people are just going to start going to the bathroom out in the woods. Because the fear of going to the bathroom in one of these toilets and discovering that you're on the verge of dying, or just, it's going to be bad news
but
every time.
But it's also twofold. It's going to be like, you know what? Going potty in the woods is the most natural way to do it. And that's how I had my babies. Well, that's where I want to do my yoga.
People are going to do it in the woods just to avoid getting the bad news these toilets are constantly giving. Because here's the thing.
I think that you would be afraid of, you know, if you had not ever been on it, maybe there might be some fear the first time. But once the toilet tells you you're good, I don't think you'd have that fear. I think that people are sort of like have like the, you know, white coat syndrome of being afraid of the doctor because they have not been to the doctor for many years, and they're sort of afraid to go there and find out what the doctor has.
Yeah, so let's say you have one of the first smart toilets in your home, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And you have a lot of people visiting all the time. I think you're going to end up finding a lot of poos in your sink and dustbin. Because
no, I disagree. I think
people are going to be like, no way. I've heard about these toilets. I don't want to hear about my ailments here and now in Rob's house.
You can turn it off.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. If I have a smart toilet at my house, first off, okay, let's say okay, Danny has.
Do you have to put a
toilet.
Warning on the door?
Danny has. Okay, so you maybe put a sign like you have a party at your house, warning a smart toilet inside. So
yes.
First off, it's like, hey, Danny, I don't have health insurance. That can I come over and use your bathroom? Because I need, I haven't been to the doctor in a couple of years, but I've been on a hard time.
Danny's not going to let you sit on his personal toilet at home.
No, Danny, please. I don't have any health insurance.
Rob, you can come sit on my toilet, but Danny won't allow you because then he'll have to do the hover for the rest of his life.
Rob, full disclosure, if you go to the bathroom on my smart toilet, I have all the information now about so much
DNA,
about
DNA, yes. Everything.
All of your ailments, all of your gross infections. Now I know everything.
That was going to be number two. Oh, no pun intended. Of you have a party at your house now, and now you've got the medical information on everybody in your circle now.
Exactly. I can see what kind of opioids Tyson's taking during his Skittle party.
Yeah, before I give you this job, can you go ahead and give me a stool sample?
Yeah, I can.
They're just like, do you need a bottle of water? Let me get you another bottle of water. And then all of a sudden Tyson has to go to the bathroom. They're like, whoa, it appears that you are a drug addict. For some reason, you're taking multiple weird drugs.
How do you have Ebola and AIDS in your system at the same time, but are exhibiting almost no side?
Well, I mean, you have go on a date, a first date with somebody like, hey, you want to use the bathroom before we, before we, you know,
that's why you do what the girl did and toss her turd out the window in between.
History.
Is that what she was doing?
Yeah.
She was bypassing the guy's smart toilet.
Danny, can we outfit the smart toilet with a camera and microphone so that maybe we can, then the doctor can talk to you?
Yeah, my toilets here actually already have cameras on them.
A lot of public toilets actually do have cameras. Yeah,
you don't realize that any of those portable porta potties at like sporting events and stuff. Mm-hmm. Those have cameras.
Lots of cameras. Lots of analyzing going on.
Okay, boy.
Analyzing.
Smart toilet really analyzing, a complete game changer. Really changes
the wave of the future.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about some more stories. This is a great week for news. We got to talk about, oh, yes, Danny. This is going to get into a segment of talking about some people, lonely people looking for love in different places. And Danny is very
and maybe
excited.
Even getting even lonelier by alienating anybody who would give them the time of day before.
This is the only story I wanted to talk about.
Okay, let's get into this because this is a story of one of the most romantic stories you're going to hear today. And it's
beautiful.
This is the story of a man named Akihito Kondo.
That would be his name.
Yeah. This is a picture of Akihito Kondo with his new bride. And her name is Hatsune Miko.
Great name.
Yes.
And so they got married recently, mm-hmm. and none of his family, his mom didn't show up, and I think none of his family members showed up.
Yes.
So there is a sad element to this story, right? Yeah. If you read through the whole thing, he was, you know, he tried to get along with women. He just didn't have that knack. He didn't have that James Dean gene or whatever you would call it that allowed him to just be a hit with the ladies.
Mm-hmm.
So he found love with his hologram, which, by the way, is a 16-year-old, I think, is the age of his hologram, which takes the place when he wants the hologram to be in real life. He has a doll that mimics the hologram.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason... I don't necessarily like this story individually, but the idea of people marrying a hologram, I mean, how much easier is life, especially if the hologram is tapped into all of your appliances, to your smart toilet, your hologram is going to be able to do so much for you and never argue with you about any of the things that you argue with a real living person. So... it's like the hologram can do everything. It can turn up the heat in your house. It can analyze your poop. It can warm up the toilet seat. It can get the shower started. This is, I'm talking about in the near future, with almost none of the side effects of a real relationship with a real person. All the best parts without any of the worst.
So you're on board with this, Danny?
Oh, yeah, totally.
But what about the repetitive nature of her? Like, there's no way you can program her to say something new every day, so you still get that, like, oh, hey.
But that's not any different than a long-term marriage with a real human.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So you said none of the bad this stuff, but that is one of the things.
But you could turn her off if she got too repetitive. By the way, I don't think he's the first. It's not a real marriage. Of course, the people who are fully supporting this marriage is the hologram maker. They sent him a certificate saying that he was married to the hologram because, of course, it benefits them hugely if that can be recognized. But I don't, Tyson, what are the downsides of marrying a hologram?
You don't get any physical.
Not now. Not
when,
dude, not as like in the future, if you had a robot, the hologram could pop into.
I feel like there's a lot of downsides. Like, for example, us covering it on News AF, like imagine you being the subject of one of our stories.
Okay.
It seems so superficial. Like, how in depth can it be? I know we've all watched the movie Her, where Mr. Phoenix has a relationship with his smartphone, with his AI.
One of the best relationships he's ever had in any movie, by the way.
Exactly. And this could be that, but everything about this, to me, screams more like it's a pervert doing things legally. So he's like, I want to date a 16-year-old that has modified eyes who's a pop star, but I don't want to get arrested for it.
Well, let me put it this way. Let's say you live in China, right? And I think that I read somewhere that China has...
I lived in China for 10 days once.
Okay. China has 20-something million men, I believe, and someone should check this for me, men who will never, ever marry, right? So you have a group of men out there Mm-hmm. Tons of them, millions of them, with no opportunity to get married. What's your alternative? Because single men, unless you can get them to sign up for a war, single men roaming the land is a dangerous thing.
So what you do here, Danny,
yes,
is you create a website, and let's just, for the sake of not having a better name, let's just call it Ashley Madison. And then we'll hire a quarter of these men to pose as women on the website and flirt with men. And then the other 75% will be the men thinking that they're flirting with these women. And they'll get on it all day, every day, just flirting back and forth.
Is that enough?
I think so. I think if you can train the 25% that are getting paid to be
So you're women, saying one group of that, one percentage of that group is tricking the other. So they're mm-hmm. all being tricked into thinking that they're having secret liaisons with women.
Exactly.
So it's just a big swindle or whatever. It's just a big trick that they're playing on each other.
I heard that when you signed up for Ashley Madison, you actually would get a free membership if you would pose as a woman on a separate profile.
So that's a
so then you're posing as a woman flirting with all these dudes, and then on the and then you're flirting with probably actual women on the other end.
Oh, so nobody knows who's talking to who, and they're too afraid to expose themselves, you know, with the truth. You and so everybody's in. Living in a big vicious cycle of lies.
Yes.
Until they die, or until at least their sexual drive runs out.
Correct.
So let's segue from a man who found love to a place where people are going to, if not find, at least temporarily rent love. Danny, it's time to talk about Sex Island.
Sounds like a sticky, sticky place.
Yeah, you've been there before.
The raunchy tourism destination of Sex Island, where there are five bros who have conceived Sex Island as a destination. And Sex Island is a place where you can buy a ticket to go. And for the weekend of December 14th to the 17th, you can visit Sex Island for a what is billed to be a fun-filled orgy, Tyson.
Hmm. I mean, I guess a fun-filled orgy is a lot better than a miserable, devastating orgy.
Well, I think
but
they're all...
is there a fun
no, no, fun-filled the best, orgy? The best quote I've ever heard about an orgy is, if you had an orgy, all you've done is multiplied the number of people you can't look in the eye afterwards.
Okay. So, all right, let me explain what's going on here, because there's a lot to work through here in Sex Island. And so there were five men who were including...
Of course.
Yes. No women were involved in the ideas for Sex Island. A hedge fund manager and a nightclub owner in New York who have these sex parties around the world. They decided to make it their mission to unite people who are looking to find these all-inclusive sex parties.
I think that the prime minister of Italy called those bunga bunga parties. Berlusconi. He used to do those.
And he would call him Bunga.
So this is, what I'm saying is this isn't unprecedented, but keep going.
Yeah. And so for $6,000, you can get what they're calling, Danny, the golden ticket.
Mm, the golden ticket. So which STD is that?
A golden ticket, which includes unlimited booze, food, and access to women. Believe that there are going to be a number of prostitutes that are.
Whoa, there it is. Couldn't get real women to volunteer. You had to hire professionals because no sane woman's going to show up on an island.
A volunteer? What are you talking about, Danny? Like it's like a nonprofit, like. It's part of their, like, oh, I have to do some public service. Because
I'm just saying that without
arrested.
Being paid, no woman's going to show up on that island where the ratio of man to woman's like 20 to 1.
Yes. I believe that there are no women on Sex Island who are not working on Sex Island.
And they claim that some women came forward and offered to volunteer.
Right. Yeah.
But, of course, that sounds just like what a bro would say, especially a hedge fund manager.
So what we have to do here is they need to... get online, create a website. I don't know. Let's call it Ashley Madison. And then have these men lure separate, pose as women, and lure these other men to this private island, only to find out that it's only all men.
By the way, you're showing up at this island, right? You land or you take a boat, you get off. You're looking every guy in the eye. That's a hard thing to do. Everybody you're looking at is someone you might potentially see in a compromised position.
Yeah. Maybe the flight home, you're not looking anybody in the eye, Danny.
Maybe when you first get there, you're like a bro, you're high-fiving, but on the way back, it's all tears and shame.
No, I think on the way back, it's uncomfortable shakas.
Yeah. First off, should a Greyhound bus be the only acceptable way to travel to Sex Island? Should they figure out some way to get the Greyhound bus on a ferry to take you to Sex Island?
Yeah, because the stains won't matter. The pre-staining is totally fine. Yeah. Wash that right off of those seats.
So here's the quote from one of the Sex Island creators, Tony, who said, we've had girls who have volunteered to come.
He would be a Tony, wouldn't he?
Yeah. We've had girls who volunteered to come and offer not to get paid, said Tony. They just want to come and be at the party.
Go on.
Give me a name, Tony. I want names.
Said that along with the women, drugs will be readily available. He said, had a guest ask if he could bring a kilo of cocaine on an international flight. And we told him that wasn't the best idea, he said with a laugh, as quoted by the New York Post. So let's
He's got a great sense of humor.
Let's talk through Sex Island. At best, Danny, Sex Island is something that will make the Fry Festival look like Lollapalooza, right?
By the way, it's fire.
Fire.
Yeah, and by the way, he just went to jail. I think he got 6 years.
Tony did or fire did?
The guy who organized that. Do you know the alcohol, it's called Sex Island when you get there, Regret Island when you leave. And the alcohol and drugs are absolutely necessary to get through the weekend.
So you're telling me, Danny, that this guy from Japan or China Tony. Who married this hologram mm-hmm. isn't going to have the time of his life at Sex Island?
He would never go. He has too much respect.
He's too in love with his wife.
Too in love. Yeah, exactly. He can't leave her for this island of debauchery.
Yeah.
Tyson, so get this. In addition to the prostitution and the readily available drugs, they are mixing in activities like strip tennis. Mm-hmm. Does anybody want strip tennis?
Does anybody want tennis?
It's a very royal sport, Tyson.
I know it's an executive sport. For sure it's an executive sport. But what I'm saying is if you don't know how to play tennis, you're not going to learn at Sex Island enough to have fun.
Too many distractions from the drugs and the drooping dongs.
Yes.
Did you say dripping dongs?
Droopy.
Oh,
droopy.
They're definitely going to be dripping, too, by the end of that whole thing.
Sex Island has a golf tournament where the winner of the golf tournament will receive a 1-hour session with 10 girls. This is just poor attempt to try to get Tiger Woods down there. Is
it? You know what? They could really use the toilet that analyzes stuff. On departure, everyone has to pee into the toilet to find out what new Christmas gifts they just got.
You have to use the AI toilet.
By the way, one guy and 10 women. What is this guy doing? I mean, you've only got so many appendages and so many.
Yeah, but if you took like 6 Viagras,
you'd have to. Your fingers wouldn't be able to bend if you took 6 Viagras.
But they're also billing at Sex Island a mystery Canadian rap superstar who will attend the event.
Drake?
Bieber.
Well, okay.
Bieber is the rap superstar.
If you had Drake coming, wouldn't you announce that you have Drake coming? Why the mystery around the Canadian rap superstar? Unless you want people to think it's Drake and then it's Rake.
Oh, is Rake another Canadian?
Let's face it. Everyone's going to be disappointed when it's not Drake.
Right.
They though?
It's just
like if you were to be like a Canadian rap superstar is going to show up and I showed up and it wasn't Drake, I wouldn't be disappointed. I'd be like, oh.
Yeah.
I don't like Drake, but what I'm saying Tony probably likes Drake and he's trying to trick people into thinking it's Drake. The good thing is, though, if you have a riot with these naked sex island people, it's pretty easy to put down a riot when everybody's naked.
That is true.
Sure.
All right. So let me give some bad news to anybody who's listening along here and thinking that this is going to happen. At best, Sex Island is a scam that you are going to pay $6,000 and nothing. There is no Sex Island. That's best case scenario.
That's best case scenario.
You pay $6,000 and you get scammed at $6,000. Worst case scenario, it's a trap. Sex Island and they are rounding up all the sex offenders.
Uh-oh. That's a good idea, actually.
It's a great idea. The best idea that we've had, I think, in law enforcement to let's make up a place. It's called Sex Island. Very easy to get there. Just cost $6,000. Give us all your information and then just come on down there.
Get on this Greyhound bus. Yeah. Don't mind the bars.
Unlimited prostitution and drugs. Just get down here.
And the thing is, too, like when you read about the drugs, it's not like they're like, here's a buffet of drugs. They're like, we'll point you in the right direction. So if you go to the heart of Bogota in the middle of the night, there's a guy.
We have got a dark alley that you can go to and score some blow.
I think what's going to happen is this is going to be a worse ending than any of the Jurassic Park movies.
Yeah. Well, this is like
Island Nubar
that Pinocchio went to with all his friends, where then everybody got turned into a jackass. This is going to happen.
Where young boys did the two things they want to do most, drink beer and smoke cigars.
Yeah. Well, we will keep you posted on what's going on Sex Island. Because
will we, though?
Yeah, I think so. I think that this ends terribly for all parties involved.
Oh, yeah, for sure. There is no happy ending with this story. This is just going to
Should we start a GoFundMe for Danny and get Danny over there?
Well, I think Danny should go down there as an embedded reporter.
Yeah, I'll go if you guys can also provide me with a full body biohazard suit.
Danny, full body biohazard suit with a GoPro on top. Yeah. And then you can go and report live from
Island. I will wander around Sex Island and report live as long as I am fully protected.
Do you promise? Because I think we could contact these guys and have you go down and do a full report on
it. Could you imagine Liz letting me go? Hey, Liz, News AF has paid for me to go to a place called Sex Island. Don't worry, Tony's running it.
Tony, the hedge fund manager.
Most Tonys are very reputable. They mostly do online exercise programs, but this Tony's different.
Mm-hmm. It's okay, Liz. Tyson said it's okay. So mm-hmm. Yeah, I think she'd let me go.
Okay.
I think it's your job.
I mean, you are in search of news, so
I am in search of news AF.
Okay, all right. And then some happy news. A world record was broken this week when the world's largest nacho was eaten in New Mexico. Tyson, did you consider driving out to go be a part of the world's largest nacho being eaten?
Oh, you know I would have.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't ever let me, nobody contacted me.
5,039 pounds, 110 feet long, as thousands of people watched on as the cheesy chip concoction was eaten, according to delicious. USA Today.
What a waste of food. The only way that I would...
How is it a waste? Everybody ate it? It was consumed.
I would only eat it if you guys let me pick my nachos first, because there's no way I'm getting in there after everybody's had their hands and all whatever stuff. I bet the Sex Island guys were there. Not a safe environment.
This might be a great food item for Sex Island, right?
Yeah, one, like, come be part of the journey.
No, nacho. you just ring the bell and say, come over to the nacho trough. And they're like pigs. They just put their head into this trough where they've got nachos. And they just eat it naked, while naked.
Yeah. No, I think, let's say...
Tony, no way. Don't do this one.
Let's say, for example, that I'm Danny and I'm at Sex Island reporting. Because I don't want to put myself there, even in a hypothetical. And and I'm so hungry, but I'm doing this reporting, and they're like, okay.
Can we go live to you on Sex Island?
Type? Yeah.
All right, let's go live to, you know, we're getting ready for the holiday
season. But I'm Danny.
But Danny is live from Sex Island with a report. Danny, are you there?
I'm here, Rob, and things are great, except for I'm super hungry. I wanted some Flamin' Hot Cheetos, and they offered them to me, but there was they were too open. And I didn't know what molecules would fall on them. So, so I had them create this bubble and capsule thing where I stick my hand in it into a rubber glove and then pull it, transfer it to another part, which then drops into my mouth directly. And that way, no germs can be spread or drop on there. You know, like when you have a fart, there's probably poo molecules in the farts.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, for
this
sure.
This is like sex molecules just floating around constantly. Danny,
and
you're
remember,
not going
to... not just sex molecules. Sand is also present all the time.
So you're worried about the sand?
Sand and sex molecules. Those two things combined is just a perfect storm of awful.
So anyways, Rob, I haven't, the only thing I've eaten is Mountain Dew, and I've had to have somebody test the seals on every Mountain Dew before I open it and put it to my lips, and I have to drink all of it in one swoop because you cannot.
Yeah, you can't leave an open container.
Leave an open container around.
Drop a pube into it.
See?
Danny, has Drake performed yet?
No, Drake.
Drake hasn't, but the guy who sings Informer, Snow, is the famous Canadian rapper.
Oh, he was Canadian, Snow?
Yeah, he was Canadian, and he was white, but he sang with a Jamaican accent.
Okay.
Wow, Tyson, the fact that you knew another Canadian rapper blows my mind.
You don't know Snow? Informer.
I don't know Snow.
You know some now, a Nicky Boom Boom now. Da, no. da, 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 da. You don't know that song?
No, I don't know that song.
Yes, you do. Come on.
Yes,
I do. I would own up to knowing that song if I knew that song. I don't know that
song. Dude, I had a mixtape when I was a kid of that song on loop, both A and B side.
Yeah. Tyson, this is amazing. Snow, born Darren Kenneth O'Brien, is better known by the stage name Snow, is a Canadian reggae vocalist and recording artist, better known for his 1992 single Informer, which spent 7 weeks at number one in the U.S. Billboard Hot 100.
I can't believe that Tyson uncovered who the Canadian rapper is that's going to show up.
Tony!
We got you, bro. It's Snow.
Is that sort of the segue for when the FBI comes out and arrests everybody there, where it's like, what is he singing about? Informer? Like, oh, wait. Oh, no. It's a sting. We're busted. Yeah.
Got us.
I licky boom boom down.
Does Snow
said?
Ever... Yeah. Nicky Boom Boom Now, I think.
Nicky Boom Boom Now?
I don't know. Let's play it.
Well, I don't know. I'll just go on the lyric sheet here.
Are we not allowed to play it on here?
We can. A licky boom boom down. Informer. You snow. Yeah, no. Say daddy me snow me. I got go blame. A licky boom boom down. Detective man, say daddy me, snow me, stab someone down the lane. A licky boom boom down. Informer, you know, say daddy me, snow me, I go blame. A licky boom boom down. So
is this a poem written by a 5 year old?
Is it really a licky boom boom down?
A licky boom boom down.
Interesting.
I don't know what's
so interesting.
Yeah. So there is an explicit threat.
I don't know this song.
So according to the analysis of the lyrics, there is an explicit threat that's being made towards a police informer that got Snow arrested. Snow is basically saying, stop snitching or I'll beat you / gun you down.
Whoa. This is Canada?
Yeah.
That's pretty dark for Canadian rap.
Yeah.
You know it is.
And in the 1993 music video, Snow is imitating cocking and shooting a pistol.
They didn't even have guns in Canada. It's amazing he knew how that worked.
So if you inform on Snow, then you will be gunned down.
Yeah.
So be easily. Careful, Tony, so bringing snow onto
you. If you see him at Sex Island, you look the other way.
Did you say if you see a him?
If you see a him?
Yeah. Wow, he's already rapping like snow. Rob's been infected by his lyrics.
Yeah. Snow is baller. Can you imagine if you wrote a song like that and it somehow became number one? You would really think that you had all the answers.
They say that the Canadian artist known as Snow killed several informants who ratted him out to the police.
What a time to be alive in the 90s.
He's back on the charts.
Can you imagine being in the 90s and being like, I'm white, but I want to sing like a Jamaican, and I want to get into a genre of music that is not my heritage at all.
Yeah, I don't know what his backstory is. We know he's upset with informers. That's we don't know, you know, who he became friends
with. Aren't they called Mounties?
I don't know if he was informed onto the Canadian Mounted Police.
Oh, it's just so bizarre.
That was from his hit album, 12 Inches of Snow, Tyson.
Is that true?
That's not.
He's for sure the Sex Island guy.
No, yeah.
It's all a trick. It's his big comeback once he gets everybody. That's the only way they could get people to a snow concert was promise all of these unlimited drugs and prostitutes and nonstop fun. And then it's like, wait, that's how you had to trick us to get to a snow concert?
Yep, he's bringing all 12 inches.
You guys, are you more impressed with my knowledge of Snow, the
I'm
artist,
so impressed.
Or
how did you
Danny's
know
knowledge of Kroll?
No, I'm impressed with your knowledge of Snow. I was wondering, I was trying to think of anyone I knew who was a music performer from Canada other than Rush, and I couldn't come up. You came up with Snow, pulled that out of your hat. I'm amazed.
Yeah.
I think I looked up him. I looked him up. Because you read his Wikipedia page, Rob. I think I had seen that like a few years ago. And so that's why I knew it, because I had looked up that song.
Okay.
So you're
like the Rain Man of Canadian rappers.
Exactly.
Danny, do you have any updates for us on our worst airline passengers this week?
Yeah, I've got one. It's not so outrageous that it's mind-blowing. It's pretty common behavior on a plane, but let's walk through it.
Okay.
Real quick.
Okay.
You ready for it?
Yes.
I mean, I don't know, but I'll try.
I mean, we've talked about people clipping their nails.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about people peeing on the floor.
Sure.
We've talked about all this disgusting behavior. And so now when we talk about some of these events, they seem so insignificant compared to everything that's come before.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I mean, is that this story is relatively tame compared to some of the stories. And this is just a video came out last week of a woman who was caught on the plane picking dead skin off of her bare feet as she sat
with her hands
in the window with her bare hands and then just dropping the dead skin onto the floor.
And what happened?
I mean, obviously she's been shamed. So they use Tyson's favorite technique.
Yeah.
But do you think this is going to stop this woman? This is the problem. This woman is greyhounding all over the skies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't brought to her attention. Nobody came up and told her to stop doing it. So it's almost, it just feels as if this is a pointless exercise shaming some of these people.
Yeah. I mean, we've heard so many horror stories. I almost feel like that if you're on a flight and somebody is picking the dead skin off their feet, I feel like that you've almost, I mean, that's like one of the better outcomes you could hope
for.
The
exactly.
Worst
you're just
on your flight is somebody who's picking the dead skin off their
feet.
And
you're glad they're not drunk and beating you up or taking a dump in the middle of the aisle.
Or Sex Islanding all over your face.
Yeah, now you've got we've gotten to a place as a society where a woman picking dead skin off of her feet is just barely
is refreshing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, well, there's so many things that she could be doing that's worse.
How was your trip, honey?
Good.
Well, the worst part, I mean, it was great.
Yeah.
You don't even mention it nowadays. You're like, well,
that's what I'm talking about. This is what makes this all so depressing.
Do you think this is big airlines? Like maybe she's an employee of the airline company and they're making this the norm so that when shit goes down, which
is expectations. Yes, so that's what the airlines are doing. Where then when you go on a flight and nothing really crazy happens, like, oh, I had a great flight.
Yeah,
that's actually
anything of note happen? No, nothing. I mean, the woman next to me, she had a weird thing where she took her shoes off, put her bare feet on me, and picked a bunch of dead skin and then dropped it on my lap.
Oh, that's
but that was it.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
And so I think that Rob's really hit upon what I think is the airline's motto is low expectations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
high altitude, low expectations.
Oh, I think dude, that could be the motto.
That's brilliant.
Yeah,
that's American Airlines' new motto.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
High altitude, low expectations.
I like
it. The stewardess would come over and say, oh, she's just picking dead skin off her feet.
Yeah.
Consider yourself lucky that she's not high on bath salts clawing your eyes out.
Mm-hmm. So you think that Delta Airlines leaked that story from a couple of weeks ago about the person who got the seat that was covered in some animal waste?
Oh, for sure.
So then when you get a seat that only has, a bunch of like crumbs and, gunk from a kid sitting there on the previous flight,
deal.
You're like, oh, all right, not so bad.
Yeah.
Could be worse.
Could be worse.
Human fecal matter. But this is tolerable. Great. Yeah, that's exactly what they're doing. Lowering the bar.
That's fantastic.
High altitude, low expectations.
Very strong move by the airline industry.
Oh, genius.
Man. I can't believe we didn't think of it first and create an airline and then merge it with other airlines to become the world's biggest airline. The world's biggest airline
with
the lowest expectations.
At the same time, they're shrinking the seats
mm-hmm.
and charging more to just bring the smallest items.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's just they're charging more. They're making billions more while reducing the quality. I mean, where else can you do that and get away with
quality
it?
Quality and their costs.
I don't know. It's good work. You know, bravo. Bravo to you.
Yeah. All right. Before we get to talking about DBH for this week, let me take a moment and thank one of our sponsors. And those are our friends over at hairclub.com, because at hairclub.com, they know confidence is important. And sometimes one change can make all the difference. Hair Club knows this, and they are inviting you to become part of the Hair Club family to see how getting the most out of your hair can change your life. Take a look at Tyson. See how confident he is. Everybody knows it's because Tyson has great hair.
I do have great hair. Thank you, Rob, for noticing.
We're not even on video anymore. And Tyson,
I know. I shook my hair out. I undid it, shook it out.
That's a natural reaction when talking about your hair, Tyson, is to shake it like you're in a shampoo
Everybody
commercial.
Wants hair like this.
Yes. And so Hair Club is the leader for total hair solutions with a legacy of success for over 40 years. Whether you're looking to revitalize the growth of your own hair or to learn more about the latest proven methods for replacement or restoration, Hair Club's professionally trained stylists, hair health experts, and consultants will craft a personalized solution to ensure that you feel your best and get the most out of your hair. You know, I personally have been told by my wife that if I lose all of my hair, she is going to leave me. And I'm not even joking.
Is that true, Rob?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
You know what kind of pressure that is?
That is an immense...
That's a type of pressure
that makes you lose your hair.
Yeah, it makes your hair fall out for dude.
One time I had a bet, and I bet, hey, if I win this podcast award, I'll shave my head.
And
my wife said, well, what if it doesn't grow back? And I said, what do you mean? She's like, if you don't have a good head to be bald, she said.
With a piss-poor attitude like that, you're going to end up bald for sure.
Yeah. It's a lot of stress, okay? So let me write this down. Hairclub.com/RHAP today for a free hair analysis and a free take-home hair kit, all valued over $300. That's hairclub.com/RHAP for a free hair analysis and a free hair kit. Hairclub.com/RHAP. Experience your hair and your life at its best only with Hair Club. You're going to love the club. All right.
Is this something you can do preemptively too?
I guess never too early. I mean, you just go ahead and check out that free hair analysis. I mean, there's something that you could always get the jump on.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm down.
All right. Let's go ahead and take a dive into Danny's amazing bolt hole coming up. Should we play the song this week, Tyson, or no?
Nah.
Yeah,
you guys are over the song.
I think we're over.
No, don't ambush me. Don't musically ambush me. Guys.
Welcome to my bolt hole. I think you're gonna like it. I think you're gonna feel you belong.
Yeah.
Okay, can I talk? I'm afraid.
Yeah, well, afraid of what?
Of being ambushed by that song. See?
This is the reprise.
I think you're gonna like it. I think you're gonna feel you belong.
You can hear Tyson in concert this December at Sex Island, opening up for Snow.
Mm-hmm.
Get your
Tyson, would you take that
now.
Gig?
I'm Snow's opening for me, but they're advertising him.
Nice.
Yeah.
Right, because they can't trick people that Drake is going to perform with you.
Right, exactly. I'm not Canadian. I'm not a rapper.
Rap legend will be here.
That's so great.
Tony!
Tony. He's got it all going on.
Classic Tony. Classic Tony.
All right. Danny, what's in your bolt hole and how deep is it?
It's hot. Whoa. I got a hot story.
Mm.
There's a local grocery store, and I used to love to go down there and get their soups. I love soup. I'm a soup guy.
What's your favorite soup?
It depends. They have a very delicious chili.
Wait, you would go to Harmon's?
I don't know if chili's a soup, so let me go to a real soup. I like a lot of the cream of mushrooms, the cream of broccoli.
Interesting and gross.
Mulligatawny. I know. I'm just a soup guy, all right? I
So you'll go to Harmon's, the grocery store, and go to their soup bar and eat the soup from the soup bar at a grocery store?
Hold
on. That's what this story is about. So just back up. Okay.
But let me rewind into your life a little bit here, because I thought I knew you.
Yeah,
but now it feels like my whole perception of you has been shattered by the fact that you go to a soup bar at a grocery store.
Yeah.
You're not letting me finish.
By the way, avoid the soup bar on Sex Island.
Okay, guys, let's go back.
I'll let you finish.
I did go to the soup bar. Okay, I did. It was a weird time in my life.
How old were
when
you?
When I was blinded by hot soup. This is recently. But I stopped going to hot soup bar because one day... I had
wait
the epiphany
a second,
Tyson
a
had.
Second,
hold on,
second.
Hold on. No, let me finish this. I had the epiphany that Tyson obviously had a long time ago. I was seriously blinded by the deliciousness of the soup, but I was standing there one day with people huddled around the soup bar like pigs around a trough, and I thought, "Look, the open containers,
I'm
the
getting
hair,
anxiety, bro."
Yeah, I know you. I did too. I started to get my armpits were starting to sweat. When it was as if my eyes were being opened and I was seeing things for the first time. And what I was seeing was just very disgusting, right? I had stopped. Like, I used to have my wife get me salads from the same place. And then when I actually visited the place and saw the salad bar, I was like, whoa, never, ever get me a salad. But the idea of the soup being hot allowed me to overlook the germ issue because I'm like, it's super hot.
It's not boiling.
It's not just like hot. No, it's close to boiling. Their soups, they keep their soups insanely hot, which I appreciated. Mm-hmm. But finally, I just looked at the bar. I saw the people frantically trying to get soup. I saw the mess, and I said, this is not for me. This is not Danny's place.
Yeah.
So I switched to the package soup. So it's the same soup, but it's packaged.
Yeah, what about a Tide soup box?
Okay. I would do that. I would eat soup out of a Tide soup box. Mm-hmm. But the reason I'm bringing this up is because there was a video posted last week of a man at a hot soup bar. We talk about bad passengers. This is bad shoppers. Oh, no. And he lifts up the ladle, a ladle I am very familiar with. I can feel it cradling my hand right now. I'm so familiar with that ladle. He lifts it up and drinks from the ladle like he's a witch sipping from her cauldron. And I thought, how many times has this been repeated? Finally, someone caught it on tape. How many times has this scene been repeated at my own hot bar by ignorant, stupid people? Not even ignorant, just stupid people who have...
Yeah, not great.
This is like, not great. This is like bad passengers in real life, IRL. Bad airline passengers doing the shiz they do outside of being a bad airline passenger.
Mm-hmm.
Like this guy drinking from a ladle. That's just
then our whole theory goes up in smoke. Like, this guy's not an employee of the airline acting poorly. This is just a real life person.
No, what I'm saying is you have bad airline passengers. The woman pissing in the aisle.
Our theory was that those people were hired by the airlines to lower expectations. But okay, now that theory can go out the window because this guy's
theories until one's proven to trump the others. So right now what I'm saying is we have these people roaming society, and this video captures a person greyhounding IRL drinking soup from a ladle at a hot bar. I mean, it's just... Why would you do that? What I really want to talk to this individual and say, what made you think you should drink soup from a ladle at a hot bar?
That hot if he's drinking it from a ladle.
Yeah, that is a great point. Make it so hot that at least they pay a severe price when they've got skin hanging from the roof of their mouth. I saw this video and it touched me. Yeah. Deep down inside my bowl.
How about this, Danny? Could we get some sort of like a spigot of soup where sort of like the soup is like high up in like a kettle and there's a spigot and almost like Gatorade at the football game if you're on the bench of like you need to like open the spigot to get the soup to come out. Then
no,
that wouldn't work.
No,
because
that
people
is
are going to get their bowl too close and they're going to end up getting the goopy glop on there, and then if they're spoon, it's like a drinking fountain.
Yeah. Here's the problem with food in public, right? We talked about the guy who rubbed the produce on his butt, and then 2 days ago there was a story in Australia about people putting needles in strawberries and pineapples. It's like the problem is whenever you allow the public access to an edible item, they just ruin it. They make the world worse. The soup bar was my head.
I think some of it is ignorance. Like that guy's, he's like a double dipper.
Refuse to believe this is ignorance. What? He's a grown man with graying hair. How did he get this far in life thinking it's okay to drink from a ladle in hot soup that the public, everybody else uses?
Yes, exactly. And he's probably like, oh, this is just normal because this is what my mom did, was she would always taste the soup on the stove and then put the ladle back.
But
and
over
now
the
that's
50
what we
years
do.
Of his life, no one's confronted him and said, whoa.
Camera phone's just been invented, Danny.
I don't even know if he's aware that he's being shamed. I hope that this gets back to him. I hope that he never visits another soup bar again.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
I just want to eat in peace. I just want to eat.
You got to find a smart toilet, Danny, tested, because I didn't realize that you were eating buffet soup from a grocery store. Is that correct?
You haven't seen the soup display there. I'm telling you.
At Harmon's?
They tend to keep it extremely clean.
At Harmon's?
Super hot. Yes, at Harmon's.
It's the one right when you walk in the door on the west side.
I'm telling you, as a person who visited there quite often, I was very pleased with how it was normally kept. It was the one day when it was totally dirty and surrounded by ravenous people that I realized that it's not the place for me. But up until then, it was very clean and very hot.
I think if you can like time it so that you're there as they're bringing the soup out and you're the first one to hit it, great.
That's the only way to do it.
It's the only way that's even remotely acceptable.
Let me just go back to the AI toilet for a second. You go to the soup bar, you come home with a cup of minestrone, pour it in the AI toilet. Will the AI toilet be able to tell you what soup you've ordered?
No, but it would be able to be like, I detect anal warts. And you're like, great, from that dude's face.
From the guy.
Straight from that dude's, straight from ladle dude's face.
Okay. All right. Great, great find, Danny. Keep us updated on any of the soup bar news.
I will.
Tyson, do we have any reviews?
I'm sure we do.
Yeah.
Do you want to stall for a second?
Sure. All right. Let me tell you about one of our sponsors here today, betonline.ag, the presenting partner for the Podcast One Sportsnet Challenge, where I have been taking on the other Podcast One hosts in a weekly football pick'em contest and only got 4 out of 5 games this week. Really,
that seems pretty good.
Well, it seems pretty good, but I allowed some daylight. I ended up picking the Jets, and it did not go well. But I will look to get back off the schneid here in week number 11 because people are getting
by never picking the Jets again.
Forget it. I will not be picking the Jets again in the Podcast One Sportsnet Challenge. But you can have plenty of fun picking the teams that you think are going to win. Pick against the New York Jets every single week because we're at the midway point here, just past the midway point in the NFL and the college football season, with all the games getting more and more important in the NFL. Teams like the Saints and the Rams and the Chiefs being very un-Jet-like. Meanwhile, Carolina, Pittsburgh, San Diego, and Houston are heating up in college football. Alabama, clearly the best team in the country, with Notre Dame, Clemson, and Michigan all right there in the BCS standings. There's only one place to get in on all the action, betonline.ag. Don't wait any longer. Use promo code PODCAST1 to get a 50% sign-up bonus. That's PODCAST1 for that 50% sign-up bonus. In the NBA, Milwaukee, Toronto, Golden State, and Denver are off to great starts. And in the NHL, Nashville and Tampa are doing great. Tampa Bay is doing great in the NHL. Don't miss out on any of the incredible action, like the man with the ladle trying out all the soups. Get in there, go online, use your mobile phone, and sign up with the promo code PODCAST1 to get that 50% welcome sign-up bonus. Try in-game live betting, where you can participate with the action on every single play at betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Tyson, all right, tell me about the reviews.
Okay, here we go. We haven't gotten a review for a couple of weeks, but I have one I haven't read before.
Okay. Tyson has a bad back, and you guys can't even leave him a review?
Enough already, right?
Informer.
They just about it out and out of now. A licky boom boom now.
A licky ladle now. Licky boom boom down.
Okay, here we go. The only news you'll ever need. 5 stars. By Corbin Devils. Tired of the same old boring fake news? Tired of the same old boring news? If so, this is the podcast for you.
Did he correct himself or you corrected him?
I corrected myself because I had read the... If so, this is the podcast for you. It's the only news organization that Trump has never tweeted was fake. Why, you ask? Because it's both actual and factual.
Yes. All right.
Join Rowdy Potty Rob... Wow. Willie T and Vascular D every week to get the only news you'll ever need.
Yeah.
Update. The pooper intendant is suing the Holmdel Township Police Department for defecation of character.
Yeah,
I did it, guys.
No, we have an outstanding record on this podcast. No politician from any political leaning has ever come out and said that we are, you know, some sort of a political mouthpiece for any organization. So we call it down the middle on this show.
Yeah, we sure.
By the way, Wooly T, I like that.
You like it?
Wooly T.
You think it's going to stick?
I don't know. It probably would on Sex Island. I don't know if it's going to stick.
Everything is sticky on Sex Island.
Yeah, everything sticks to everything there.
Okay. All right. So, Danny, price out the flights to Sex Island, and then we'll look into the budget to see if we can raise the funds to get you out there.
Yeah, I'll get right into that. The minute we stop here, I'll just
also I'll get price right out the hazmat suit as well.
That's probably going to be more expensive than the flight.
Actually, we might not be able to afford the hazmat suit. I think what we have...
I think we could make one.
Yeah, I think we have an old poncho.
Painters. No, the painters thing. Yeah. You know that painters wear? I would do that with a good mask.
Okay. That's cloth.
Yeah, but that's okay. I would... No, it's not. It's not. It's a type of cloth that doesn't seem to let leaks through. I've worn it before. Yeah. I'd do that with a good mask to protect my eyes and mouth from unwanted
from the
fluids.
Sex molecules.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think I have a Super Mario costume that I wore in 2010.
That won't work.
Yeah.
I won't wear that. That could be an invitation for some unwanted sexual activity.
Yeah. Yeah. What does the M stand
from
for?
From a dude. Yeah. He'd be like, you know, Super Mario's my favorite game. And you're like, it's mine too.
Yeah.
And then you guys fall in love. And then I have to be the one to call Liz and be like, hey, Danny's not coming home.
Make it back. All right. Great stuff today. Thanks for hanging in there with us, everybody, after we had some technical issues earlier in the show. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre putting this all together. We'll be back next Tuesday, the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. Tyson, are you going to be traveling?
Yeah, I'll be in Utah.
Okay. Our special Utah edition.
Yeah, maybe I'll go down to Danny's house and record if that will work out. If not, I'll just record from my parents' house.
Well, that would be exciting.
Sure.
And then Danny could give you a back rub if necessary during the podcast.
Yes. I better get good at my back rubs before I go to Sex Island.
That's a good idea. And then we could go to lunch with Nick after that.
We go to Harmon's and get some soup.
Yeah, with Nick. That's a good idea.
Okay. All right. Great work, everybody. Tyson, anything else?
No, okay. That's all.
That's all. All right. Feel better, Tyson. Take care. Bye.
We did it, guys. Stopping recording.